Hey, good evening, and welcome to our Wednesday Rewind, the revisiting of our last Sunday's message here at Believers City Church in Menominee. I'm Pastor Tim and the preaching pastor here at Believers Church. Hey, we're glad to have you with us, whether you are listening locally live on 101.7 FM Street Level Radio, or whether you're out on the web somewhere in the world at large. Our Sunday message was entitled, Be an Example, with a text from 1 Timothy 4, verses 10 through 16. Let's go to God before we jump into it all, shall we? Father, we thank you as always for your presence. We know that ultimately you're the teacher, and we are merely the sheep, we're the followers. May you guide our steps this evening. May you open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us in this text. Thanks for having that text. Thanks for the scriptures that you've given us. Open our hearts and our minds this evening that we might make it personal and make it part of us. And we praise your name. Amen.
Have you ever had someone tell you that you're too young to make a difference, or maybe even the opposite, something like, you're too old for that now? I think we can all relate to a moment where we've been told that in our lives, and it can be a little discouraging, right? Well, guess what? I have good news for us today. In my middle school years, there was a teacher that shared this verse with me, and it truly changed my outlook on my youth, and I hope it does the same for you. In 1 Timothy 4:12, oh, and by the way, this is a letter that Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers as an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." I remember the first time that I ever sang in front of my church in middle school, the moment that I fell in love with the heart of worship. That was the moment for me. I was quote-unquote young, but there was something so pure and special and authentic about being young. I was just trying to stay faithful to Jesus and serve the local church at that point in time. Those middle school years were so pivotal for me because I found that no matter what age I was, I can serve God. You see, God wants our full hearts. He wants our undivided attention. And at a young age, I'm so glad I learned that in my life because it truly shaped who I am today. And I find it interesting that the more I read the Bible and understand the character and the heart of God, it sure does look a lot different than the world we live in today. And some might even say countercultural to the time period we are living in. In this passage, Paul does not just say to set an example in faith alone or love alone, but in speech, conduct, love, faith, and in purity. That means as believers, we are to set an example with our words, with our actions, with our heart, with our relationships, and a righteousness that should be overflowing as followers of Jesus Christ. So how can we change the world that we live in today? That's a big question, right? How can we reach the youth and also let no one despise us because of our youth? We change the culture by setting an example, by stepping into the culture, and that comes from walking into relationship with Jesus Christ and showing other people that no matter what that looks like, we will allow no one to despise us because of our youth. So go out, change the world by the power of Jesus.
Albert Schweitzer was once quoted as having said, "Example is not the main thing in influencing others, it's the only thing." Paul the Apostle seemed to embrace that kind of thinking. He wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, quote, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you." In chapter 3 of that same letter, he said, "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern." And then when writing to the church in Corinth, he wrote, "Therefore I urge you, imitate me." Now sadly, it seems that much of the attempt these days to manifest our beliefs tend to present merely as philosophy and as intellectual. Actually doing what we're called to do, well, that so often inexplicably takes a back seat. Actually, Jesus once said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Luke 6:46. You know, it seems that this is a rather where the buck stops on this issue. On this issue of real and authentic Christianity. The bottom line we need to ask is, are we merely a believer or are we a disciple? Now, Paul the Apostle, he calls upon the believers in the book of Titus and us too as believers, that in all things show yourself to be a pattern. In all things show yourself to be a pattern. Now this pattern was to be reflected indeed to the outside world, but also to those within the body of Christ. This presenting Christ via example is ironically one of the greatest failures in our parenting today, as well as our missional manifest. You know, that work that we do in our own personal sphere of influence. Parents, I think, are so often quick to verbalize a commitment to Christ and the kingdom, while at the same time, quite slow to actually live out that love in a real world passion in the presence of their kids. Now, of course, our children are going to be quick to pick up on that, and they're going to grow up to be just like us. Sadly, I've watched some people do that over and over again, kid after kid, failing to see this truth, until they eventually lose every one of their kids. And if they ever figure it out, it is going to inevitably be a day late and a dollar short. Now, Paul, on the other hand, he was big on this idea and seemingly was unflinching in his presentation of Christ and faith in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, according to his scripture. Now, certainly, there were times that Paul paid for that stance, and there were times he paid dearly. But if he did question the wisdom of an all-in faith, we have no record of it, and we have no evidence that he ever did. It seemed Paul had one mind, and he seemed to live that out kind of in that Damascus Road experience. And he apparently lived that Damascus Road experience every day of his life, because he was unwavering in his priority to king and to kingdom. Thus, Paul instructed now this young prodigy Timothy in his words, no doubt, but clearly he also modeled true discipleship in his living. For he says in our passage that he both labored and suffered reproach in his desire for godliness, in his desire to be like his king. He was unflinching despite any and all backlash. That seems almost as an aberration, an extreme phenomenon in our day, where pain is absolutely rejected, discomfort shunned, and the absence of comfort is forever avoided. Let's face it, we are in 2024 seeking an easy Jesus. Paul not only personally sought to practice a faithful kind of living, but he taught that. And it says that he did so in a mode of commanding, as well as in a mode of lifestyle. All of this, I think it must have been quite challenging to this young man, Timothy. I mean, there is nothing here that would allude to Timothy being some kind of prodigy or some natural-born leader. Let's face it, he was no Apollos, that's for sure. Apparently, he was just a kid with stomach issues and a meek nature. I mean, he could have easily lean towards a low-key church-attending belief system, but it appears that God was turning up the heat, especially through his mentor Paul. It was clear that God wanted him. And while the world today has indeed gone all spiritually soft, the voice of Paul, the apostle, it cuts through what is overtly a Jesus-light age. A day in which we most often look for the most comfortable seat. Paul now, his voice cuts through the fog. In his letter to the Philippian church, he wrote, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And then later in that same letter in chapter 3, he wrote, "What things were gained to me, I have counted them loss for Christ. Yes, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death." Paul the Apostle seemed to be calling Timothy out here. And he also seems to be brushing aside any and all excuses that could be offered up. So many of us have them, don't we? You know, excuses why we can't do what we've been instructed to do. Excuses why we end up doing what we don't want to do. It's funny because we kind of imagine that the excuses and the perceived exemptions will satisfy the Lord when we stand before him. That because we have what we believe to be a really good reason, well, that'll be okay with him in the respect that we had other gods before him. You know, Paul encouraged Timothy to step up despite his youth, to step up despite any shortcomings and any weaknesses and any excuses and any problems and any issues, to use the gifts that God had given him. Please note, God has given, or at least that he wants to give. I mean, he wants to give spiritual gifts to each and every one of his children. He wants us to receive these gifts and to use them to bless others and to further his kingdom. Yet many of us, frankly, have never even discovered what our gifts are, let alone actually use them. Yet, you see, it's the actual living out of the faith that we're called to do, gang. Not just offer up some sort of verbal affirmation, but Paul and Christ is calling us to a public display and a community faithfulness where we find ourselves equipped when we find ourselves faithfully in his word. Look, each and every one of us need to ask ourselves, consistently really ask ourselves, why am I here? What am I doing here on this planet? What's my purpose? I mean, am I here with my hand open seeking something from God, you know? Maybe a husband or a wife or financial security. Maybe some new friends or maybe good health. Paul said he was there to labor. Not out of obligation. He made that very clear. But he was there to labor rather out of a life of passion and a love for his Redeemer. Out of a thankful heart. Now, most of us are forever on the earthly quest to be happy. And the more we chase it, the more elusive it seems to be. Perhaps because we continue to try and find that happiness in things of this world. And, well, Christ seems to be kind of more of a cough medicine than a harbinger of joy. I mean, we know he's good for us, right? But we don't enjoy it. Look, all of this passage that we covered on Sunday and we're revisiting this evening. All of this passage comes down to verse 16, where we are warned to take heed to ourselves. Paul says, take heed to yourself. Keep a close watch on how you live. Keep a close watch on your teaching. We're told to stay true to what is right for the sake of our own salvation, as well as the salvation of those who we share our lives with. We are an example of something in this life, aren't we? I wonder, what are you an example of today?